It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Good evening, I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday night where we talk about high school football 52 weeks a year because it is just that big of a deal in South Georgia. And we are getting oh so close. Acclimation week this week as players start to get a little bit more accustomed to the heat outside. It is plenty hot outside. And, of course, we'll have some teams getting ready for scrimmages next week. Others will be scrimmaging on August the 12th. Others, there's some dates in between. And then, of course, the regular season for the Georgia High School Association teams kicks off on August the 19th. So we've got a lot of ground to cover tonight. Coming up in a little while, we'll tell you about one of the biggest high school recruits in South Georgia made his commitment today. We'll tell you who and where that young man is going to be going. Also, we'll talk about some of the biggest questions. And we're going to do this for all of the teams over the next couple of weeks, but some of the biggest questions facing teams in 1-7A and Region 1-6A coming into the 2016 season. We'll have the AA and AAA and Quad A and 5A and Single A teams coming up and GISA teams coming up in the weeks to come. Also, we're going to be talking about an explanation of a rule. There's been a lot of talk about the fourth place team from Region 1-7A because it is a four-team region. But the fourth-place team does not automatically make the playoffs. They'll go to a power ranking. We will explain how that works from the Georgia High School Association, and we'll tell you about that coming up. And also, right after this first break, we're going to talk to a man who has seen a lot of football over the years, and he's going to see a lot more this year as well. Our friend Bobby Willis, who does double duty. We see Bobby a lot whenever he is working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and all the fantastic teams and huddle groups and huddle leaders that are all around South Georgia. Bobby works diligently with that group, but he also works diligently on Friday night officiating high school football. I'm going to talk to Bobby about what that lifestyle is like. We'll also talk a little bit about some of the slight rules changes this year, and a lot more is exactly what goes in to life in the stripes on Friday nights. We'll talk to a friend, Bobby Willis, coming up right after this first break. As always, we appreciate the fine folks at Cass Birch Automotive, Citizens Community Bank, and also the great folks at the Holiday Inn and Conference Center on Highway 84. High school football, talking with Bobby Willis, coming up right after this. You're listening to the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive right here on News Talk 105.9, and this is WVGA.
And now, more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Back broadcasting live inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It's the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. We appreciate the fine folks at Citizens Community Bank, Glenn Copeland and his great staff, with four locations over in Morven, over in Hayhire, and two in Valdosta. Stop by and see them. World-class banking with hometown decisions made right here where they need to be. Joining us tonight in studio, in the CCB studios, my good friend Bobby Willis. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Chris.
Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
I'd say, you know, people think, oh, football season, get ready. Bobby's got to start thinking about football. Listen, when you work with the FCA, you've seen a lot of football all summer long.
I've seen football for the last 2 months on a steady basis.
That's right. All the FCA camps, and I'm so glad to see. I know there was a great one that Coach Dickerson hosted over in Clinch County.
Faith in football. It's a great deal. And
I've heard rave reviews about that one, and I know there's been several events all over Georgia, all over South Georgia, and that keeps you guys very busy.
Right. We had one in Albany. We had one in Norman Park. We had the one we had with up at Cook, with Bobby Jones and Cook High School. We had the Faith in Football over at Homerville, and we also had a football camp at Georgia Southern. And it's a lot of football.
It is.
A lot of good players out there.
That's right. And, of course, blending in the principles that FCA stands for, which is always – a great thing and something that we probably don't talk about enough, Bobby. You see them all the time, but so many coaches serve as huddle leaders. So many coaches serve as, positions of leadership within the FCA, and that's really great to see.
Yes, it is. They do an outstanding job, too, and I just appreciate all support of our coaches in our area and support of FCA. They invite us to come in and help. It's just a great thing. And I've since I've been with FCA, there's several things I've noticed. And one is if you utilize what FCA, not Bobby Willis, but what FCA offers to these football camps and all this year, if you utilize that, it'll pay dividends for you because we build in character and build in teamwork. You get a bunch of kids and you put them together for about 3 days.
Yeah.
And they're going to bond.
Yeah.
Now, these coaches say, well, FCA ain't got anything my team needs. You are badly mistaken.
Well, and one of the other things, Bobby, that I think we've seen it over the years with some coaches, I'm thinking college coaches, who have been so outward with their faith. And, of course, Bobby Bowden immediately comes to mind because he did it so well for so long in Tallahassee. Mark Richt at
Mark
Georgia.
Ricks.
I think, Dabo Swinney over the last year.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney is outstanding. And there's a lot of others out there, too. But I'm glad to see that. I think our nation needs that. The kids definitely need it.
Absolutely. And just a little reminder, Kirby Smart will be here coming up in the spring.
So. Yes, Kirby Smart be here. I'm hoping it's be on February. I'm hoping for the 21st. He hadn't finalized that date with me yet, but that's the one I got out there. And there's a reason for that. It's going to be held at Lowndes High School, and they're out of school that day, so give me a little bit longer to get set up.
Worked out great with John Smoltz last
year. Yes, it did, and I'm hoping Kirby will come around and let us have that date. So.
Well, he'll be here regardless.
He'll be
that,
here.
So. Of course, your other hat, as I mentioned, that you wear, Bobby, you've been a high school football official. This will be your
41 years.
Wow. Something that, when you started, did you ever think 41 years would be possible?
No, I did not. As a matter of fact, my first year I went on the football field. The second game I ever riffed in football was on a high school field. I did one B-team game on a Thursday, and they put me on a high school field on a Friday night. And so I've been on a high school field ever since. But that first year, I didn't think I'd make the second one because we was at a school, and somebody started shooting.
No way.
It was going on underneath the stands, but you don't know that when
the
gunfire starts.
Wow.
I thought that was going to be my last night because they had a chain link fence about 5 feet tall. I cleared that getting off the field. I thought that was going to be my last one.
Well, we're glad that it wasn't. And, of course, the other great joy of it is you get to do that with your kids as well. And that's one of the things that I think people don't realize maybe about high school officials, be it football or really anything else, but the great kinship that you have with folks who you have officiated with in your crew over the years. I mean, you are a family.
Yeah, my two sons ref with me. Scott's been with me on Oldiston about 20, 21 years. Derek's with me, been with me about 18, 19. And Jess Wright, and I hate to say this, Jess and I called together. He worked with me. We worked together 30-something years, and he has retired as far as varsity ball goes. Mm. So we'll be without Jess this year. Gonna miss him. He's a great friend, and we've been through a lot together on the football field.
Yeah.
But it's good that I go out there every Friday night and referee with my sons. That's probably kept me on the field a little bit longer.
Well, we're glad that as well, and that's a good time to mention that if folks are interested in staying in touch with the game, maybe they played in high school and they're not playing any longer, but still are fans and like to be close to it, we're always looking for good officials.
Always. We need more officials every year. We seem to get a little bit lower numbers each and every year because just the nature of the game.
Yeah.
And you got to be – this is – people say, how you just run out and call? No, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, right.
It can get expensive,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when you're starting out and buying uniforms and all the training you got to go through. And, you know, every time you turn around, Georgia High School's adding another camp you need to go to, and you got to go here, you got to go there. And,
yeah.
It's more than just that. We've actually been meeting now for a month and a half already.
Are there, again, Bobby Willis joining us tonight is talking about the life of a high school official. Let's talk a little bit about this year. Every year it seems like we get a few rule changes, some years more dynamic than others, I guess. But what you're telling me this year, there are some, but nothing major.
Yeah, there's actually three rule changes, and it's all minor. The first one involves mouthpieces.
Mm-hmm.
And several years back, they come out and said, you know, the mouthpiece had to be clear. He couldn't be dark. Had to be something you could see.
Mm-hmm.
They've done away with all that. Clear, white, black and white, it's all legal now.
Okay.
The only thing, if you cut it off, it's illegal. And some people want it shorter to fit the mouth, and they cut off one side or the other side.
Right.
That's about the only thing that's illegal now.
Gotcha. So you can't do that.
Can't do that. But I think the big change is the clipping rule in the free blocking zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a long, many years there, you could, as long as you was in the free blocking zone, everything was legal. Mm-hmm. You got to hit them above the waist and in front now.
Explain to folks free blocking zone.
Well, free blocking zone, that's 4 yards on each side of the football and 3 yards in the offensive backfield and 3 yards in the defensive backfield.
Okay.
So you got a 6x8 box there.
Yeah.
And as long as the ball is in that box. Mm-hmm. Now, if the quarterback's in shotgun formation and it snapped and he's 7 yards deep.
Right.
When it leaves that zone after that 3 yards, it's in front and above the waist.
Yeah.
And you've seen, I remember a player that played here back in his 60s with Valosta that I've always admired because he was a little guy. Walter Zant.
Sure.
Was fullback for Valosta. He probably didn't weigh 145 pounds, but he would cut you at the ankles. The quarterback dropped back to pass, and that defensive end would come in, and Walter would cut him right at ankles. Walter would have a hard time blocking now because he's got to hit him above the waist.
That's right. The game is
above changed. The waist and in front.
Yeah. The game has changed so much, Bobby, mm-hmm. since you started this, and you've seen some things probably be cyclical. Some things come around again, that kind of thing. And, you know, there's been such this advent of spread formations and offensive, and I think the 7-on-7 tournaments and that kind of thing right. kind of lend itself to that. But you do see a variety on Friday nights. Does that make it tough to call a game when you have a team that's running, say, a straight wing tee or over clinch counting where Jim Dixon loves that single wing versus a team that's all spread out? Is it one easier or harder to call?
Yeah, the biggest thing, like what Jim Dickerson runs and the single wing and all this kind of stuff and is keeping your eye on the football because mm-hmm. you can lose it if you're not careful.
Sure.
And the old saying is, you know, you got to see the ball before you blow the whistle.
Right.
And sometimes you that's tougher than what you think. People set them in the stands. Why in the world? Well, you know, when you're down in all the traffic, there's a lot of things
that
could go wrong. But it's the game has changed a lot since I started. It's opened up. You've had tons of rule changes. Had somebody ask me one time, why did they make that rule? Who in the world is going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made the rule because somebody already had.
That's right. Exactly.
And you've got to make rules against it. I mean, when I started, you could run the old snake in the grass. Like a guy was going off field, let him step back on, throw to him going down the sideline, all that's out.
Yeah. yeah.
The Frumrooski, you know, that's all illegal now. And
that
used to be things that, you know, you'd have to watch for and all this kind of stuff. But they've made it, actually, some of it's made it easier to call.
Well, now let me ask you this. Your relationship, because you deal with these coaches, and I find this very interesting. You deal with a lot of these coaches, not just head coaches, but assistant coaches too, as a representative of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Now you get on the field on Friday night. Is the relationship the same? Because that's a very tense and sometimes heated atmosphere. So
it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
I don't know how the coaches feel.
Right.
But for me, it's pretty much the same.
Right.
Because I try to go out and do a fair job and be fair to everybody.
Right.
And if it's the opposing team that's against them, it's still going, you know, the best of my ability, I'm going to do it fair. Now, we going to miss calls.
Right.
And I've said for years, anybody tell me they've never missed a call, they ain't never called a game.
That's right.
Because you're going to miss calls.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like at halftime, if you walked in the locker room where we at, you'd see what I mean about we don't want to miss calls because we are chewing one another out, or we mad at ourselves because we made a mistake that we shouldn't have made.
Yeah.
Because we in it. I'm in this game now for the kids and for the coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
Fans, they come watch a good ball game, and they're going to scream and holler, and they're going to holler at Bobby Willis or whoever who's the referee out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the game.
Well, just like a coach makes a bad call or just like a quarterback makes a bad pass, I mean, everybody – only the man on the cross was perfect and nobody else.
That's right. I was talking to some coaches last year and at a Bible study. And at the end of the Bible study, we was just, you know, chewing the fat a little bit. And they said, you know, we've been around a long time. We've seen a lot of horrible officials. I said, I agree with you. I've seen a lot of horrible officials too. I said, but in my years, I've seen a lot of horrible coaches. I said, some nights out there, I want to call time out and go in and tell that coach, look, you run that play 8 times, you've lost 75 yards. Don't run it no more.
You want to say that, but you don't.
You can't.
That's right. That's right. Now, and also, you guys are graded. I mean, the Georgia High School Association, they're official. They grade officials. Is that done? How often is that done, and how does that work?
Well, it used to do, when they started doing this probably 20 years ago, they would somebody show up at the game site. Mm-hmm. And he may come in your pregame or he may not. A lot of times your clock operator have to tell you, yeah, we got an evaluator up there, and you may never see him, and you'd get a report 2 or 3 days later. Now, pretty much it's all done by film, mm-hmm. with, you know, huddling,
right.
all of this. And so you can get graded every week and yeah. don't even know it. And sometimes they'll send you a report. And the way they do it now is they'll send you the huddle film that they graded you out on, and you can go in there and they'll point out your mistakes. And they also point out the good things, too.
Yeah, it's all – the world has changed, and the technology is everything these days. So.
Yep.
That's the way of the world. So it's going to be an exciting season now. We talk about things that have changed. Obviously, Bobby, I think, and we talked about this a lot on the show, this is going to be a season unlike we've ever seen. There's another entire classification. I think it's, you know, there are a lot of differences we made. Just the fact that Valdosta Lounge not in the same, not only region, but classification anymore. That's going to change a lot of rivalries. I think it's going to be exciting to watch how it unfolds.
Yeah, I do, too. I think Lounge and Valdosta will always play.
Sure.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's a big money game.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. It is. Now, it'll still have a lot of intensity about it, but it's not like they play in the eighth game of the year and both teams has got to win to keep their chances for making the playoffs. So it's going to be a little bit different, mm-hmm. but it'll still be a rivalry. You know, you've had rivalries for years, not in this, you know, like Thomasville, Thomas County Central.
Sure. Fitzgerald, Irwin County.
Yeah, Fitzgerald, Irwin County. It's always been a rivalry.
Yeah.
And it didn't have anything to do with because they wasn't in the same classification.
Yeah.
But I think we'll still have that. I will say this, Lowndes and the teams in 7A has a tough road.
Yeah.
But so does Valdosta because the region that they're in, if you look at who's in their region,
tell you what.
It's tough.
There are five teams in there, and as I said, and I've used to say this all the time with the biggest region. I remember when it was one AAA, then one Quad A, and mm-hmm. on and on. But there's going to be a good team sitting at the house when you're talking about Valdosta, Coffee, Lee, Houston, and Northside One Robbins. Mm-hmm. That's five excellent programs.
And if you've heard all the scuttlebutt about Lee County, I understand they loaded on defense.
They are. They are absolutely loaded.
We're not going to talk about how they got loaded on defense, but they loaded.
Well, Coach Rizzio does a great job with that bunch, and he has for the last several years. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how that region unfolds. Is there a stadium that you enjoy going to just for the pure aesthetic value of being at the stadium? Does any of that matter once you get between the white lines?
It matters.
Yeah.
It matters. Camden County, I've always loved calling over there.
Great place.
Going to Valdosta. Don't go there much because I live here. Lowndes is a great place to go. The atmosphere, Coquitlam County, Thomas County Central.
Mm-hmm. Is there a stadium you've not been to? You've been about all of them, I would imagine.
About all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's more, like Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's a good place to go. Coffee County is a good place. Lee County.
Now, I've never been to Lee now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's according to who's playing in Albany. They've done a lot over there with the field. They've got turf over there now, so that's better.
Yeah.
For a while there, they had so many teams playing on that field. After about the fourth, fifth week of the season, you couldn't hardly stand up on it, but they've done a terrific job. I like the atmosphere. I had an official work with me probably 20 years ago, and his deal was, you know, give me one good football team, it's a good night. Give me two good football teams, it's a really good night. Give me two good football teams and a great band, man, I'm here. And believe it or not, we don't mind the band.
No, that adds a lot to it.
Yeah.
It does.
If you live in Valdosta and Lowndes County, you might already like the bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
And both schools have great bands, and I think that's part of good Friday night football.
And I think, I would imagine, Bobby, just like a fan, if you are officiating a game, which is a close, nail-biter game, that's got to be a lot more fun than if you're doing a 48-0 blowout.
It is. It's a lot more fun. I want it close.
Sure.
I want all games you call to be close, and it doesn't matter what classification.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, I want to call 7A now or 6A. It don't matter to me. You give me a good football game, good solid football game, I don't care. You can go to Clinch County and Charlton County and Clinch County and Irwin County. You're going to have a good football game.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the fans are great. Of course, you're not going to have 12,000 fans there.
That's right.
But they're going to be a little bit closer to you. They're going to be loud. They're going to be supporting their team. And that's what it's all about.
That's what I've always liked about the Thomas High School Stadium. There's no track around it. The fans are right there on top of the stadium, and it just kind of adds a lot to the atmosphere. So,
well, now Frederica Private School over in Brunswick, you know, St. Simon's, we went over there 4 or 5 years ago and called a state championship game. Now, I did not like that deal.
I've never been over there.
Well, only thing between us and the fans was one little rope about the size of my little finger.
Yeah.
And by halftime, that rope was down. They were standing on the sideline. But a lot of good people.
Yeah.
A lot of good people. It was, they were behind at halftime. We was the worst officials they had ever seen. They come back and won. And the game, when we was going off field after the game, we was the very best they've ever seen. So it's just according to how the game's going.
Perception changes. Off until the story when I was a beat writer with the Valdosta Daily Times, and I was covering Valdosta High School. And that year, they happened to go 13-2 and won the state championship game. And at their banquet later on, and I went to cover it, then one of the boosters said, well, Chris, you did a pretty good job this year. You had 13 great stories and two that weren't worth a darn.
That's the way it goes officiating.
That's right.
You know, we only about 50% right, you know. Either the winning team loves us, the losing team doesn't like us at all. You just got to pray that at least the winning team likes you.
That's right, exactly. So, well, listen, you guys are the unsung heroes. We often talk about that on Friday nights. And again, I tell folks, if you want to be a part of it, be right near the game. It's a great way to be a part of it. If you love kids and you love that kind of atmosphere, becoming an official is a great way. And Bobby, let me ask you, of course, you're with the All-Star.
I'm with All-Star Football Official Association. We work out of Albany.
Yeah. If folks want are interested in that, how do they get in touch with somebody to say, hey, that's maybe something I want to try?
They can get up with me.
Okay.
And I can help them there. I'm on our board. I'm one of the past presidents. And I also handle all the officials in our Valdosta area.
Yeah.
We have satellite meetings here. We don't have to go to Albany all the time. And myself and Eddie Smith handle that. And I do all the assigning of B-team, junior high, youth league around here of officials. So I'd be a good one to get up with.
Give them a call at the FCA office. We'd be glad to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And one of the great things I saw this summer, my son plays basketball, and he was at a tournament. And it was a day where they were training officials. And officials were out there, and they had the evaluators who would then step in and say, now, listen, you need to watch out for that. And I thought that's the right way to do it during the summer, just like players, get your practice in, earn some stripes. So.
Right. You know, people says, you know, y'all have the summer off. We don't. Yeah. You got camps to go to, different things to do. And it's there's a lot more to it than a lot of people think.
I'm excited about it. 3 weeks and 4 days away, brother.
Well, actually, if you want to look at it, a week from Friday night, Lounge plays preseason
That's
game.
That's exactly right.
Against Bainbridge.
I was talking to my
fifth. So.
I was talking to my friend Danny Redshaw today, and he said we start school next Thursday, play our first game next Friday, so it's going to be here quick.
It'd be right on top of us.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And
about
you
it.
Know, this year being that they are playing Valdosta and Lounge playing the first game of the year, our Christ Makes Winners.
Oh, that's
Rally.
Right. Real quick, let's mention that. That's a Wednesday night.
That's a Wednesday night, October 17th.
August 17th,
yeah. October, August 17th, Ben being October, yeah. November. August 17th, it's going to be at the First Baptist Church downtown in their new facility this year. We're looking for a great crowd. Both coaches has agreed to be there. We're going to have a player or two to speak. We got Adrian Dupree.
Oh, good.
And if you've never heard him, he'll be a blessing.
Yeah.
We've got room for about 1,250 people. I'd like to see the place full.
Absolutely. And for both programs, it's a great way to come together.
So. We got all our churches, youth pastors, and all is involved in it. I think it's going to be a great night.
It will be. And it'll be a great year. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Chris.
Best of luck on your 41st.
Maybe I can make it through it this year.
You will. I'm sure about that. So.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Take care, man. We'll take a break and come right back. And also, something else I failed to mention earlier, we're going to be talking about what I call the unofficial kickoff to the high school football season. Media Days coming up this Saturday. We'll tell you about two of them, kind of your way to get your football fix in early, and that'll be coming up right after this. Thanks for listening to the High School Football Report presented by Cash Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It's the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. They are selling them like nobody's business at Cass Birch. It has been a fantastic summer with a simple reason. Fantastic deals on great automobiles all up and down the lot. Cars, trucks, SUVs, new, pre-owned, they got them. Going and coming. Check them out today at CastBirch right there on North Valdosta Road, right next to the Smoky Pig, Irving Equipment as well, and online at CastBirchAutomotive.com. One of the top recruits in South Georgia has made his decision as to where he is going to play college football. I always preface one of these announcements by saying that signing day is in February, and nothing is official until Penn hits paper on National Signing Day. However, Trey Bishop from Terrell County High School over in Dawson, Georgia, was being courted by everyone over the weekend. He made a visit to the Plains and yesterday gave Gus Malzahn the news that he will be an Auburn Tiger. Trey Bishop is 6'3", 203 pounds. He is the number three athlete and number 148 overall recruit in the nation. He is commitment number 12 for the Tigers. And again, they list him as an athlete. He plays quarterback in high school. He is a fantastic athlete. He can throw it a country mile. He does not have a prototype throwing motion, as they say, blazing speed. And I think, and he said in after he made his commitment known earlier today, that he has become friends with Nick Marshall, also a single-A Georgia quarterback at Wilcox County. Of course, ended up going to Auburn, leading them to the national championship game and having a fantastic career there. Now he is a defensive back with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he said that Nick Marshall told him that Gus Malzahn's offense is the perfect offense for his style. He plans to enroll in Auburn next summer. He chose the Tigers over Florida and Georgia. He says the Bulldogs were his number two choice. And he's, now here's the part you got to be careful about. And here's where recruiting and commitments become a little bit tricky. He still plans to officially visit each school. He says Auburn kind of ran away with it. I feel like a relationship is a 10. That's very important. That was a key to it. He, along with nine family members, spent several hours on campus on Saturday. He said, my parents fell in love with the place. Everyone loved it there. They said if they could go, or if they could, they would go to school there. And, of course, proximity probably played some role in this. Auburn is not very far away from Dawson and Terrell County. So, and this just kind of goes to, you know, recruiting has become such a, like everything else, and Bobby was just talking about this when it comes to officiating, the internet becomes such a thing. There's no player that goes unfound. If you can play, I don't care if you are at single-A Terrell County High School or at a 7A school, because of the internet and Huddle and these websites and things like that, and chat rooms and all this kind of stuff, not chat rooms, I'm dating myself, but message boards and things like that, then you will be found by big-time programs. And Trey Bishop is a heck of a player. And right now he said, I don't mean to cast doubt among his commitment, he's going to be an Auburn Tiger again. But I've seen players change before, sometimes a month before, sometimes 2 months before, sometimes the day of. And so we'll just wait and see. National Signing Day will be in February. But that is a pretty good pickup for Gus Malzahn. And again, whether he plays quarterback at Auburn, that remains to be seen. I think you'll get the opportunity to do it. And again, Gus Malzahn has that kind of offense, which does work with a very athletic quarterback like Trey Bishop is. So best of luck to that young man. We always like to see our own South Georgia players get an opportunity to play at the biggest level. All right. Also, I mentioned earlier about the power rankings. The reason I bring this up, with the new reclassification system in Georgia, now there's a 7A classification, and there's only one region in that classification which has four teams. That region is Region 1, 7A, because all of the rest of the regions, Regions 2 through 8 in 7A, consist of Atlanta area teams. And again, my Atlanta friends don't like me to say that, because they'll say, I don't live in Atlanta, I live in Snellville. You live in Atlanta, I'm sorry to tell you. So, seven regions of Atlanta area teams. We have one down here consisting of four teams: Colquitt County, Camden County, Lowndes, and Tift County. Now, because of this, they said if you have a four-team region, and this is the only one in the state that exists, then if you finish fourth in that region in the four, what they call major sports, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, men, girls and boys basketball, so actually five. In those five sports, golf, tennis, track, then none of that matters. That's the same old as it used to be. 7A doesn't apply to them. But if you're in those four sports or five sports and you finish fourth, you do not automatically make the playoffs. They will revert to a power ranking system. Now, I talked with folks at the Georgia High School Association today, and they said the power ranking system is very much like it is at the Class A level, which means the only difference is in Class A, you get more points if you play a team from a higher classification. Of course, that does not apply to 7A because there is no higher classification, okay? So you get the same number of points if you win. You get 0 points if you lose. If you get a tie, you get 5 points. We don't have many ties. But now you also get points according to your team's record, okay? And that is anybody who plays a full slate of games, meaning if you play a game against, and I'm going to pull one out here because I can't think of one off the top of my head, but a team that does not play a region schedule, a team that plays a complete non-region schedule, which doesn't probably not going to apply to anybody in 7A because this is usually more of a single-A program, something like a Bakington Charter or a Schley County that in years past has not played a full schedule, then your game against them does not count for anything, okay? But in 7A, we're not going to have any of that because everybody, they play all big-time teams. So, again, how that works is if you win, you get 10 points, okay? You lose, you get 0 points. And then for your opponent's wins divided by their opponent's game played, and it's a little bit of a tricky formula, times 10. So basically, if you are Lowndes High School, and I don't have to pull up a schedule real quick, but I know Lowndes plays Ware County. Okay, so if you beat Ware County, you get 10 points. If Ware County goes on and wins 7 games, well, then you want those teams to win because that helps your power ranking. Now, they're not going to rank the fourth-place team, and I know this is a little bit confusing and a bit in the weeds, but if you're the fourth-place team in Region 1, 7A, you will be compared to the fifth-place teams in Regions 2 through 8. Not 5th through 8th, but just those other 7 teams. Whoever finishes 5th in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 will be compared to you. Whoever has the best power ranking will get that playoff spot. Now, I believe it's going to fall out like this. Now, we don't exactly know because we don't know who's going to finish 4th. But all of the teams in Region 1, 7A all play pretty good schedules, pretty competitive schedules. And it doesn't hurt you to play a team in a lower classification. It's 10 points across the board. So if you're, for instance, Tift County, you got Cook, you got Fitzgerald on your schedule, it won't hurt you that they're a double A or a quad A team, just like it's not going to help you to play a 6A team, okay? So it's not going to hurt you or help you, depending on what the classification is. But so if you're looking at that non-region schedule, you are now rooting for those teams to do well because that's going to help you in your power ranking. I don't believe this is going to hurt the fourth place team in that region. I know a lot of region coaches from Region 1-7A don't like that rule. I think in football, the team that finishes fourth in this region because they all play such tough schedules will probably make the playoffs. I mean, again, you look at Camden County. They play Oakleaf out of Orange Park, Florida. They play Venice High School out of Sarasota, Columbia out of Lake City. They play Glen Academy. They play Brunswick. They play McEachern. They play Forest Park. All those, I don't know about a couple of the Florida schools, but all those good, respectable programs. Colquitt County plays Mill Creek, American Heritage, which is a great program. Tucker, Roswell, Brookwood, Valdosta, International High of Broward County, and down in Hollywood. Only one of those teams is not very good, and that's the last one, International High School. God bless them, but they're just not there yet. Lowndes High, Valdosta, Bayside, Parkview, Shiloh, Newton, Mount Zion, Jonesboro, Ware County, all respectable teams. Tift County plays South Effingham, Cook, Thunder Ridge, Colorado, who I know nothing about other than I hear they're pretty good. Valdosta, Parkview, Coffey, Fitzgerald, all respectable teams, okay? So blended that in with the fact that they're going to play in such a tough region, they're going to play each other, that's going to help their power ranking. I think the fourth-place team in football has a very good shot of making the playoffs. We will be charting those numbers as we go through the season. Now, when it comes to basketball and baseball, and maybe even soccer, the news might not be so good because I think there is a high level of play in the Atlanta, not so much for our region champions down here, but when you get to the third and fourth place teams, I think those Atlanta schools may have been at an advantage. We'll wait and see. But that's how it's going to shake out for this year. We will be charting that as the season moves on. All right, we'll take a quick break when we come back. We're going to talk about some of the questions that some of these teams face entering the 2016 season. We will also tell you about Media Days coming up this Saturday, your chance to hear from some of the coaches as they get ready for the upcoming 2016 season. We'll do all that when we come back right after this. You're listening to the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It is the high school football report presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive. And again, a big shout out to our friends at the Holiday Inn and Conference Center. Looking for a place to have your office party, whatever kind of meeting you want to have. They've got great banquet facilities there. Looking for a great place to meet up with friends for dinner. Check out the Isaiah's restaurant there in the Holiday Inn Conference Center. And for anything that you may need, and high school coaches looking for a great place for a pregame or postgame meal. They can tailor it to right what you need. They can take care of you as well. So give those folks a call. Courtney and her staff will be glad to talk to you. All right. I've always called this the unofficial beginning of the high school football season when we have media days, and they're coming up this Saturday. First of all, there are two of them here in South Georgia. The In the Game magazine, our good friends, Mark Dykes, Cole Parker, and all those folks will have their 2016 South Georgia High School Football Media Day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This will be at their corporate office, 115 North Patterson Street. And, again, they're going to have lots of coaches there talking about the upcoming season. They'll have some door prizes. They'll have some giveaways, a fan loyalty contest. The school that has the most folks attending the event will get $500 directly to that program. So it's going to be a great day. It's always a great day to hear from the coaches, kind of a little bit excited about the upcoming season. Varasta Lowndes, I'm going to miss some here, but I'll give it a shot. Valwood, Lanier County, Clinch County, Brooks, Thomasville, Thomas County Central, Berrien. I think they usually have about 10 or 11. Colquitt County, Rush Popes will be there as well. I think I may have missed one somewhere. But a lot of coaches talking about a lot of football. It's going to be a good time, and that's coming up this Saturday at the 115 North Patterson Street at the corporate office of In the Game Sports Network. Also going on this Saturday is the TIF Regional Medical Center's 10th annual men's event, the kickoff to men's health. They're going to have coaches from Cook High School. Bobby Jones will be there. Jason Strickland from Fitzgerald. Buddy Nobles from Irwin County. Ashley Anders from TIF County. Tully Payne from TIF area. Ben Simmons from Turner County. And Jason Tone from Worth County. Now, how they do it up in Tifton, they also offer some free health screenings for men. Great health tips, great giveaways, fantastic food. So, guys, we know you're a little bit hard-headed, and we need a little cheese to get you to the place to get yourself checked out with the health, and all that's going to be for free. This starts early. It goes from 8 until 11:30. You'll get your free health screenings, that's cholesterol, LDL, HDL, blood sugar, blood pressure checks, all that will be going on from 8 until 10. Dr. Chris Smith will be talking about health-related issues as well. And then from 10 to 11:30, they have the coaches' season preview. You can also register for great door prizes, a portable grill with all the accessories, a Yeti cup, gift cards, and the big great door prize, a 50-inch Sanyo LED HD TV. So, and also this year, if your team has the most spirit, the Football Booster Club with the most fans in attendance will also get a $250 donation to that club. So there you go. And also the new VA clinic in Tifton will also be available during that time with information on their new visit, their new clinic for area veterans as well. So it's always a lot of fun. For more information, go to tiffregional.com. I'll be emceeing that event coming up on Saturday. It's always a great time. Listen, media days are what they are. They're a chance for coaches to preview the season. And as I've often say, you can really kind of get an insight into the coach's personality. You're not going to get any great big news, maybe a nugget here and there about a player who has changed positions or something like that. They generally talk in general tones. Some do it better than others. Many coaches really have fun with it, and I think that's how it should be. My man Jim Dickerson at Clinch County always does a great job with his. I think Maurice Freeman at Brooks County could be the king of media day. He is just funny, and he gives great insight to his team, and he'll talk about players. He'll also talk about what they do off the field. It's as much as the coach wants to put in or get out of it. Dean Fabrizio at Lee County, who we had last year over in Tifton, told great stories about whenever he was coaching on an ESPN national televised game, and his wife said, "You better lose some weight. You're not going to look good on national TV if you don't lose weight." He said, "I didn't have time to lose weight. So I got the biggest coach I had, told him to stand beside me the whole game, so I looked thinner." That's the kind of thing that you get out of media days. It is a lot of fun. And again, these organizations, TIF Regional Medical Center, and our friends at In the Game do a fantastic job of putting these on. So, and the great thing also about In the Game is they're going to be doing theirs on all kinds of social media, Facebook Live, and I think they're also going to have the coaches' presentations live on the Internet that you can watch afterwards as well. So there'll be a lot of things to talk about. And, of course, after that, it's time to get serious. Monday, 1 week from today, August the 1st, teams can strap it on for good and start serious practice. And as Bobby mentioned, the several teams will be having scrimmages on August the 5th, which is only a week from this Friday. Most teams will have their scrimmage on August the 12th. I know there's some other ones interspersed in there. I know Cockwood County will be going to Jardine Stadium to scrimmage the Coffee High Trojans. That's going to be on a Thursday, August 11th. So you'll get some different opportunities to maybe see some, of course, your favorite team, but also some teams you don't usually get a chance to see during the scrimmage portion, and we're certainly excited about that. And, of course, we are counting down the days to kick off. We're on a 13th year of our Triangle Furniture Football Friday Night Radio Show with myself and Bryce Johnson and Megan Shunoff as well. 6 hours every Friday night from August the 19th all the way through the Friday after Thanksgiving, which I think is November the 23rd or 4th, something like that this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, it all gets kicked off this Saturday. If you're a true football fan, I urge you to get out and hear some of these coaches talk about the upcoming season. It is always a lot of fun. All right, what questions need to be answered this season? We'll do our first segment concentrating on 7A teams and 6A teams coming into the season. We'll do that next as we wrap it up right here on the High School Football Report presented by Cash Birch Automotive. And we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on the High School Football Report, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. Oh, it's just getting so close, you can almost taste it. It'll be here before we know it, and again, we hope you get out and support your team this year. As always, we can be along for the ride. You can listen to us during the game on our Friday night show. Keep up with everything going on around South Georgia, but please, please do get out and support these programs. As great as we got here in South Georgia, we hope you get out. I know it's a little bit hot. It's hot on everybody, so just take a hat and a little church fan, and you'll be good to go. All right, next week, as we talked about, we've seen this thing on the SEC Network where they call it the, I think yesterday was the Auburn takeover, today's the Florida takeover. Basically, I think Georgia's tomorrow, by the way, for dog fans. Basically, they take 24 hours on the SEC Network, and they play the greatest moments. You know, for Auburn yesterday, they had the kick six, and then they had some softball from this past year where they went to the College World Series, and they had basketball when they beat Kentucky over the last year. So it started us thinking, so next week, if we had a takeover for a certain team, what are, let's say, the four best games that you would like to see rebroadcast in that time? The South Georgia takeover. I like the sound of that. Maybe we get SEC, if they want to see some real competition. I mean, come on, we've got it down here. So next week we'll highlight for some of the area programs what would be on their list. And you can send us messages, too, on our Facebook page, the High School Football Report on Facebook. If you got an idea for, say, you know, the best Thomas County Central games or Brooks County or Valdosta or Tift or Coffey or Cockwood or Lowndes, whatever you got, send us what you think should be on their, say, top four or five game list. We'll put our list together and let you know about that next week. As we talk about questions to be answered this year, it's interesting. I think in Region 1-7A, we'll do this with all of our area regions over the next few weeks, but I think in Region 1-7A, the questions are a little bit different. We'll do it alphabetically. Camden County. Listen, Camden County lost a ton of players from last year. Welton Coffey does a great job with that program. He's always got them ready to play, but they lost a lot. And then Brandon McMaster, the leading rusher, transferred to Brunswick, so he's not going to be there. And they run a lot of guys every time they get the ball on offense. And a lot of those guys last year are gone. So they do have a couple back. But I think reloading and finding a lot of guys, because they don't just use one or two. They use four and five pretty consistently during a game. Finding some guys to step up, and not only running back, but a quarterback, because their quarterback is basically a third running back as well. Finding some guys to step up in that offensive backfield, I think, is going to be key for Camden County this year. Now, for Cockwood County, you've won 30 consecutive games. You won two straight state championships. We all know you had 25 players signed college scholarships last year. You lost a lot. And everybody's talking about who's, you know, will Jay Saunders be able to effectively replace Chase Parrish? Who's going to step up and be the next great quarter running back? Who's going to replace Keel Pollard? And those are all big questions. But it kind of goes by the wayside how much talent they lost on defense. And they lost a lot to some big-time programs. I think, and now listen, I think Cockwood's in the mode now where they just reload. They don't necessarily rebuild. But still, with that much talent on defense you've got to replace, that's going to be, to me, the key question, are finding some guys on defense that can effectively be effective against some of the offenses they're going to see this year. I think that's the big question in Moultrie. for Lowndes, I think it goes back to offense, though. Again, the your offense coordinator last year, Tucker Pruitt, goes over to Valdosta High School. Basically, Randy McPherson said, I'm going to run the offense this year. You got to replace your quarterback. Now, Michael Barrett, who's a very talented young man, is going to step in, but he, you know, doesn't have that much Friday night experience. So finding that whatever works for you, whatever that may be on offense, of finding that comfort zone, which is going to be much different than last year, I think that's the key for Lowndes this year. And they've got some skill players to do that, certainly. But just kind of getting into a rhythm and finding out their identity on offense, I think, is going to be the key. And in Tift County, I really think the question is, for the Blue Devils and also for head coach Ashley Anders, when are you going to get that signature win? Last year, Tift County beat just about everybody on their schedule that they were supposed to beat, and they didn't really beat anybody that they weren't supposed to beat, meaning teams were ranked higher or thought to be a better than. They didn't pull one of those upsets. They did the year before when they beat Lowndes in the final game. They'd been on the road to beat Coffey, got them into the playoffs, those two back-to-back road wins. Those were games Tift County should not have won, or at least people didn't think they were going to win, but they did. Ashley Anders is a heck of a football coach, and I think he's got that program on the rise. They played Valdosta very tough last year. Listen, they played Cockle County tougher than anybody did all year just about. So, but when's that signature win going to come? And against who? I think that's what they're looking for this year, something to hang their hat on and say, hey, this win shows us that we're on the way up. That's the big question, I think, for the Blue Devils this year. Now, real quick, when you get down to Region 1, 6A, I think, first of all, we'll start with Valdosta. And I think, again, that's going to be who's going to step up offensively and who's going to be that running back. Valdosta, for years and years, had a running back who just was very hard to stop. Last couple of years, been running back by committee. Do they have that somebody who's going to step in, claim that starting running back spot, take a little bit of pressure off of a new quarterback? I think that's going to be the key for Valdosta this year. Their defense is going to be lights out. Same thing for Coffey. And I think the big question for Coffey is coming out of a region that not really that strong. Ware County, certainly a great program. And then some on the coast that were decent. But stepping from that into a tougher region, I think is a big question for Coffey. They are loaded to the gills on defense. Got some good players back. Demetrius Davis, a running back. They've got some players there. But stepping up the level of competition. Last year, they allowed 10 points per game on defense. Their defense is supposed to be better this year, but their schedule's much tougher this year. How does that weigh out? I think it's going to be the big question for them. For Lee County, everybody's talking about their defense. Are they as good as the hype? They got to replace someone on offense as well. Jace Orndorfer's a talented quarterback. I think he's going to turn some heads this year, but that defense, right down the line, Aubrey Solomon, Torrey Carter, Achilles Leroy, Otis Reese, all those guys on defense, Division I players, can they be as good as the hype? Because they are certainly being hyped up a lot. Speaking of hype, Houston County, I think their question is, are they as good as Jake Fromm? Do they have anything to go with him? Jake Fromm, the best quarterback this year coming out in Georgia, one of the best in the nation. University of Georgia commit, led him to a region championship last year. Can they find enough weapons around him to effectively compete in this tougher region? And for Northside Warner Robins also, can you adjust to a tougher competition? Can you get back to where you were? That's a proud program, and as strange as it is to say, because as good as they've been for so many years, they're kind of flying under the radar. You're hearing a lot of talk about Valdosta's offense, I mean defense, and Coffey's defense, and Lee County's defense, and Jake Fromm at Houston County, and Northside just kind of sitting there. And that's not a position Northside Warner Robins is used to being in. They're used to being the kingpin. They're used to winning a state championship. They're used to making deep runs in the playoffs. Will they be able to get it back? And again, one of those teams who's all five very good won't make the playoffs this year. We'll look at the 5A, 4A, and AAA next week. Along, we'll have some more great guests. Remember, follow us on Facebook at the High School Football Report on Facebook. We'll post what our guests or who our guests will be this time next week. And we're going to be counting down the days. It's going to be game week next week for a lot of schools. And that's an exciting thing. We appreciate the great folks. Once again, at Casperch Automotive, Citizens Community Bank, and the Holiday Inn and Conference Center for making this show possible. If you out tell those folks, thank you so much. And we thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week right here on the High School Football Report.